حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse from Surah An-Kabut that does man think that they can say, I am a believer, and get away with it? Do you really think that you're going to say, I believe, and you're going to get away with saying that? No, you will be tried. You will be tried just like the people before you were tried. And this is done so that those who are true in their claim can be known from those who are false. So Allah explains in this ayat that there are two types of believers, those who are real and those who are fake. And those who are real and those who are fake will only be known once they go through the trial. So if the trial doesn't come, then everyone looks like a mu'min. Everyone looks like a believer before the trial. But it's only after the trial and after the test and after the fitna when those who are truly believers will be known from those who are not. And hence, fitna is the subject of these speeches. And we need to see, in order to be a mu'min and maintain our iman and Islam, we need to understand what these trials are and why they come. So when we look at the reasons for these trials, we see that there are four reasons. And we will go through these reasons, because it helps us to understand why we are going through difficulties in life. Because when we look at our own life, we see the difficulties that we face in life, the hardships we face in life. And these are different trials that we face, and when we pass these trials, our iman and our Islam will be proven. And before these trials are passed, we will not be able to prove our iman. So here, one of the things that is necessary for us is that before we decide that it is Allah who is testing us, we are told not to look at the fact that Allah is testing us, and before we even reach that stage that Allah is going to test us, we need to find out whether we are responsible for these trials. You see, the first reason for these trials has been mentioned by Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli
Because Allah tests those who have faith. But there are those people who bring about trials on themselves. Allah is not responsible for that. That's your own fault and your own mistake. And we see that our Imam explains that in Du'a-i Kumail. We read it every Thursday, and in Du'a-i Kumail he explains the first reason why trials and difficulties and fitna come down on us. And he says, Allahumma ghafir li adh-dhunub allati tunzilu al-bala. O Allah, forgive me of those sins which bring down bala and affliction and trials on me. So the first reason why trials come upon us is our own sins and our own disobedience. This is the first reason. When we look at why our life is in problem, then we need to see whether it is us who's bringing down these trials on us, or is it Allah. And before we even reach Allah, we need to see, are we committing those sins that bring down bala and bring down fitna upon us? Are we on the, because you see, there's a list of sins that bring down afflictions in our lives. And if we see that our life is, you know, that we have troubles in our life, that our life is miserable and that we are going through difficulties, then first we need to go through the list of sins that bring down these bala and bring down these afflictions. And then from there try to understand that, you know what, this is happening because I have done this. This is the first thing you need to do. And we need to see those sins that bring down bala. And I will mention some of them so that we know of those sins and see for ourselves that have we committed those sins in our life. So this is where we start the first reason, and that is our own sins. And here I will mention one of those sins today which bring down bala and bring down difficulties in a person's life. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam, he mentions, in one hadith, he mentions two of these sins that bring down difficulties in your life. He says that if you do these sins, then you will face difficulties in life, you will have troubles in your life, and your life will become miserable. And the first of those sins that bring down these afflictions, that makes one's life miserable, is making fun of other believers. Making fun of other believers. Those who believe, mu'mineen, when you see that you make fun of believers, then this is a sin that brings down bala in this dunya. It is one of those ways that if you want to destroy your life and make your life full of miseries, then this is the secret. Make fun of others, other believers. And you see that mu'mineen have this in their own self. Mu'mineen, you see a lot of mu'mineen who are good believers, but because of this sin of making fun of other believers, you see they put themselves into these difficulties in life. And they don't even realize. They think, oh, Allah is testing us. It means we have faith. If we are bringing down difficulties in life, Allah doesn't have to try us. We are bringing down these trials on ourselves. Allah begins to bring down trials when we don't do it ourselves. If we are bringing down trials, then Allah doesn't have to. You see, we are the ones who are making these sins. And now we need to understand that this sin brings down difficulties and makes our life miserable. Why is it so important? You know, why does Allah give this punishment for this sin in this dunya? Because you see, not all the sins bring down trials. Certain sins, this is one of them. Not all the sins. So why is it that making fun of a believer, joking about a believer, ridiculing a believer, brings down this punishment? My friends, first we need to understand the position of a believer. Who is a believer? What is the position of a mu'min? Let me explain that and start explaining that if you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
My friends, who is a mu'min? What is the position of a mu'min? Allah says in the Quran about those who believe. He says that, listen, first of all understand, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the wali of the believers. Allah is the wali of the believers. Dhalika bi anna Allah mawla mu'minin. Allah is the protector of the believers. And when Allah is protecting, the relationship between the mu'min and Allah is that Allah becomes their protector. Allah now has taken upon himself to guard the honor of a believer. When anyone becomes a mu'min, then Allah says that I am the one who's protecting them. So when someone wants to dishonor a believer, when someone wants to ridicule a believer, then this is a direct challenge to Allah. Direct challenge to Allah's authority. That I am the one protecting him and you want to bring him down? You want to bring down a believer that I am protecting? No, that can't happen. Now you're challenging my authority. You see, if you had gone and done a sin that hurts yourself, that was different. But now when you have done a sin that is challenging my authority of protecting the believers, now you have come in sacred and hallowed ground. You see, now you see, this is the difference. And from this we hear the Messenger of Allah saying, in this hadith that he has said, that a believer is the example of Allah's power and might. A believer, Rasulullah is saying, a believer, a mu'min, is the example of Allah's power and might. If you want to see Allah's power and Allah's might, then look at a believer. They are the example. Now, when we look at this, my friends, and when we see this, we need to understand something. Allah, we heard the hadith is true. And what it's saying is true. But what's difficult to understand is where is Allah's power and where are the believers? Allah's power is infinite. And our weakness is evident. Allah's might is such that nothing can come in His way. When He wills something, nothing can come in His way. Our weakness is such that everything we decide to do, every obstacle that comes in our way changes our plans. You see, on one hand you have Allah's power, and on the other hand you have the weakness. We see the weakness in ourselves, we see the weakness in believers. Look at us. If we make an irada and a will to do something, we can't do it unless Allah makes the path clear. And Allah's will and His power is that when He decides something, then nothing can come in the way. So when we look at our weakness, and when we look at Allah's power, so Allah, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean that Mu'mineen are the example of Allah's power. My friends, understand this. What do you mean that mu'mineen are example of Allah's power? We see that we are completely weak and Allah is completely strong. He is strong, we are weak. He is powerful, we are lacking any type of power. We are completely dependent and Allah is independent and everything else is dependent on Allah. How can we be the example of Allah's power? My friends, in order to understand this, Allah explained this in the Quran. He explained it in the Quran so that we understand how a mu'min becomes the example of Allah's power. And you see, he gives the example. And in that example, he shows his power and might. You know, in the time of Prophet Saleh, Allah gives this example to the people and says that, listen, I'm going to give them a miracle. Miracle, show them my power. Show them my might. And what was that miracle? He brought a camel out of a mountain. A she-camel came out of a mountain. You know, people saw it. And they knew that, you know what? This is something powerful. A camel came out of a mountain. How can that be? I mean, it wasn't, for example, hiding in a cave. It was actually a part of the mountain and came out of it. And they saw the power, and obviously they knew this was a miracle. They knew that this was a miracle, this cannot be done. But Allah did it. And He brought it out before them. He brought it out before them, and when He brought it out before them, they understood that only Allah can do this. I mean, everyone saw it, and Allah is saying, listen, look at my power. The camel is the example of my power. I have brought it out of a mountain. You know, I have brought the camel out of the mountain. Now understand my power. You see, the camel coming out of the mountain, Allah is saying, is a sign of my power, is the example of my power. What can I do? If you understood this example, then you will know what Rasulullah means. See what the Messenger is saying. He's saying that Allah shows, Allah is saying that His power is that a camel came out of a mountain. My friends, it's easier. And a mu'min, his example is greater than that of the camel. His example is greater than that of the camel. The camel came out of the mountain, Allah is saying, this is a miracle. And Rasulullah is saying, don't think that that is a miracle. A mu'min is a miracle. Why? Because it's easier to bring a camel out of a mountain, but it's more difficult to make a believer out of the darkness of ignorance. You understand that? A person who is completely ignorant, to give light to that person and make him a mu'min, this is a sign of Allah's power. It's easier to make a hole in the mountain. It's much more difficult to make a hole in the mind of an ignorant person. Friends, this is Allah is saying, you think the camel is a miracle? Look at the believer, he is a miracle. Someone who came out of darkness into light. This is Allah's power. That's why He says, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ilan-nur. He brings them out of darkness into light. This is the sign of Allah's power. Who else can do that? Who else can do that? You know, even the Prophet, who is the best person to live amongst us, Allah says that your job is only to give the message. It is Allah who guides the people. Allah is the one who brings them out of darkness and into light. And He says, this mu'min who is the sign of Allah's might, when you ridicule him, when you make fun of him, when you want to dishonor him, now understand what kind of a challenge that Allah is taking it upon Himself to defend the honor of a believer. We give you some examples if you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, the battle of Tabuk, when the Messenger of Allah was making arrangements to go for the battle of Tabuk, then he announced to the people that we need donations to build the army and get the supplies for the army that is going for the battle of Tabuk. We need donations. So obviously Rasulullah is asking for donations, and everyone came forward to donate. A companion of the Prophet by the name of Abu Aqil Ansari. This Abu Aqil Ansari, he came forward when he heard the announcement. He said, you know, that I'm also going to donate. So he spent 2 days earning money. 2 days he spent earning money, and he earned 2 pounds of dates. Right? 2 pounds of dates. He took the dates, half of them he kept for himself, for his family, because they have right on him also. He kept half for himself, and he donated half of it to the Prophet and said, this is for the army, where they were, all the people, you know, wherever the donation table was. He went there and says, this is my donation. You know, 1 pound of dates came there. And then there were those people who gave a lot also. They gave a lot of money. Now, amongst the believers, there were those people who made fun of both these groups. They looked at this person who gave, you know, 1 pound of date, let's say. Small amount for the whole army. He's giving. So they made a joke about him. He said, you see, he wants to be in the list of generous people with 1 pound of dates. Look at him. Yeah, he's giving 1 pound of dates, and they say that, you know, oh, he wants to be known as generous by giving this. He has done ihsan on the army. You know, he has done a favor on the army. They made a joke about him. Then those who gave a lot, look at these fools, they're giving away everything. It's going to go to waste. Right? Both of them, they're making fun of. So when they made fun of both of them, then obviously Allah answered back to them. Allah answered back to them, and he said in this ayat, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِذُونَ الْمُتَوَّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ جُهْدَهُمْ. He says, those people who give freely in the way of Allah, and those people who give what they have earned, both these groups, you make fun of them. They are amongst the believers. They are those who make fun of these people. Then Allah replies to them, okay, you're doing this. So now, let me tell you what I'm going to do. And Allah says that, I'm going to pay them back for the ridicule and for the jokes they have made. I'm going to pay them back. Now how is Allah going to pay them back? They made jokes of believers, they made fun of believers. And Allah said He's going to pay them back. So those mu'mineen who made fun of other believers because of what they have done or whatever the reason was, because they ridiculed them, so Allah will tell the angels, take them to heaven. When all the people will be gathered there, and these mu'mineen will be told, the angels will come and say, you are told to go to heaven. And they will be so happy. You see, our prayers are accepted, our fasting is done, whatever this is. So they all like happily go to the gate of heaven. The gate is open for them. They see heaven. They can smell the fragrance of heaven. They come close to the door. And as they come close to the door shuts. The angels come and say, no, that's the door you need to go to. They'll be like, oh, okay. And then they start running towards that gate. When they reach that gate, as they're about to get into the gate, that gate will be closed. That door will be closed. And they will say, no, 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 it's not this one, I'm sorry, it's the other one. Then they'll start run towards the other one. And they will run towards the other one, and when they reach that gate, again, that gate will be closed. And they'll be keeping on doing this until they become frustrated. When they become frustrated, then they will sit, and when the angel will come to tell them, go in that gate, they will say, listen, we had enough. Every time we go, the gate closes on our face, it shuts on our face. You see, Allah then will say, okay, now take them to hell. Now they'll be taken to hell. So my friends, Allah is saying, I'm going to pay them back. How? He said, I'm going to send them to hell. But before sending them to hell, I'll ridicule them the same way they ridicule believers. I will make fun of them. And they will realize that they have no answer. This is my friends. Allah is saying, I will pay them back for what they have done. I will ridicule them and I will humiliate them before they sent to hell. So that they know what they have done to believers. This is how Allah is explaining to us what happens when we make fun of believers. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the reasons why we shouldn't make fun of believers is because Allah has mentioned in the Quran that making fun of believers is the sign of nifaq, of hypocrisy. Those who are hypocrites, you see Allah mentions about them that they are the ones who laugh at the believers. They are the ones who laugh at them, at their iman, at what they say and what they do. They laugh at them. And hence, when you see that this is the sign of a munafiq and a hypocrite, that you do not want that sign to be one of your qualities. We don't want that to be one of our qualities, that sign that we have. That's why we see that Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that those who make fun of believers will face the most horrible death. The most horrible death. Now obviously, what is the most horrible death? This is something vague. You know, you look at horrible death, you know, I mean, certain things come to your mind. For example, you know, in other places it has been mentioned in this and that. For example, someone who dies burning in a fire. This is a bad way to die. Someone who dies drowning in the sea is a bad way to die. Someone who dies being eaten by a wild animal is a bad way to die. But you see, the worst death is none of these. The worst death anyone can face in their life is a death where the person does not have the chance to do istighfar. Where a person doesn't have the chance to do tawbah to Allah and to do istighfar. When you face a death like that, this is the most horrible death. Those who make fun of believers, then you see that they will die in a way that they don't have chance to do istighfar to Allah. Allah will make their death such that they don't have chance to ask for repentance. This is the way that one dies, if he makes fun of believers. My friends, mu'mineen are special people. They are the sign. They are those who are protected by Allah. They are those who are protected by Allah. These are people who are the sign of Allah's power and might. When we look at this, the honor of a believer. You see, Imam Musa al-Kadhim al-Islam explained.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Well, when he was in Hajj, and he was near the Kaaba, and he, you know, the house of Allah, my friend, is a sacred house. Allah mentions this in the Quran. There is no Muslim who doubts the respect of this place. the honor of this place. Everyone comes there. Every mu'min's wish is to visit the house of Allah. You know, he comes there and he visits the house of Allah. This is their wish. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, when he went to the Kaaba, he held the drape of the Kaaba and he started speaking to the Kaaba, and he said that, O house of Allah, how great is your right? How great is your right? I mean, look at this. Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail built you, raised your walls. The angels come around it. The Prophet and the Imams, they are towards it. The Muslims face you when they pray to Allah. And he says, how great is your right? And everyone who was there and who was around there, they all said, you are right. Yabna Rasulullah, you are right. Then he said, how great is your right? He said, yes, you're right. Of course, you know, they all agreed with him. They all agreed with him. And then when he got everyone's attention and he said, how great is your right to the Kaaba? And everyone was listening. Then he said, but the right of a believer is greater than yours. The haq of a mu'min is more than yours. More than the house of Allah? How can a mu'min be greater than the house of Allah? How can a mu'min be greater than the house of Allah? My friends, I'm just going to mention this hadith to you and from there you figure it out. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked, Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. He was asked that, where is Allah? Where can Allah be found? He was asking, can Allah be put in a place? Imam Ali said, yes. Then they were like, obviously this was a question they are thinking that he'll say no. But he said, yes. He said, what do you mean yes? How can Allah be in one place? Where can we find Allah? He said, you can find Allah in the heart of a believer. You can find Allah in the heart of the believer. And here Imam is saying that the right of a mu'min is greater than that of the Kaaba. How can a mu'min be greater than the Kaaba? My friends, Kaaba is the house of Allah, but Allah is not there. But a mu'min's heart is where you can find Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And so much emphasis, you see, on a mu'min, so that we recognize that when we make fun of believers, then you're challenging Allah's authority. When we make fun of believers, that you will be made fun of in the hereafter. When you make fun of believers, that your death will be the most horrible death. So much emphasis on that. And now when all this emphasis is there, for who? A mere believer? Someone who believes and says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. My friend, understand this. So much emphasis on a mu'min, to honor a mu'min, to respect a mu'min. All that is there. And then you wonder why. And I gave you the reasons why. But now understand. If we can understand the position of a mu'min, if we can understand the honor of a mu'min, if we can understand the respect of mu'mineen, if we can understand the rank and honor of mu'mineen, then maybe we might understand the rank of one who is Amirul Mu'mineen. See, all this emphasis for what? So that we understand that if mu'mineen are respected in such a way, then imagine how much Amir al-Mu'mineen should be respected. How much the one who is the chief of all the believers must be respected. That's why when you honor the believer, then you will honor those who, you know, the one who is Amir al-Mu'mineen. You will understand his honor. You will respect him. If you understand, this is the case. My friends, this is the reason why you see when Amir al-Mu'mineen and all the Imams are explaining to us, honor the believers. And such is the case that when you ridicule a believer, then Allah will give difficulties in this life. Someone who makes jokes about believers, then Allah gives them fitna and trials in this life because of this sin that they have done. This is one of those things that brings down these trials. And Allah added this incentive so that you know that keep away from this. Not only is your akhirah is being destroyed, but your dunya is also being destroyed. Your dunya is also being destroyed. And because of that, Allah is saying, at least because of this, do not dishonor the mu'min and honor a believer. And if you do that, then you will see that Amir al-Mu'mineen, the position of those who are Amir al-Mu'mineen will be honored. And then we will have that respect in the heart, that way we will defend the honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen no matter what happens. You see, when we respect the believers, then we will respect Amir al-Mu'mineen, the one who is our chief. And when we respect him, then we have to defend his honor. You see, my friends, Allah says he is the protector of those who believe. When he left and he made the situation such that the chief of the believers, the wali of the believers, is left amongst us, then he has given this duty of protecting the imam to the believers. If you do not protect the honor of the believer, of the imam, then you haven't understood the position of the imam and there is no relationship. Imam is left amongst us. Now, if the imam stands alone, then it's because mu'mineen haven't realized what is the position of Amir al-Mu'mineen. If mu'mineen realize what is the position of their Amir, then they would know that as long as they are alive, they cannot leave him alone. This is the whole situation, my friends. Whenever you see that the Imam is alone, it's because the mu'mineen have not realized and they haven't understood the position of their chief. They have left him alone. And when he is being attacked, now it's your job to defend him. When he is not there, it's your job to defend him. If today people make fun of Rasulullah, then it's the job of the believers to defend his honor. Because the honor of believers comes from the honor of Rasulullah. The respect of mu'mineen comes from the respect of the imam. And that's why in order to preserve our own self-respect, a mu'min has to protect the honor of the imam and the prophet. And whenever you see it being attacked, then it's your job to come out and protect it. Whenever you see that this is being said about him, then it's your job to come out and protect it. This is the sign of a mu'min. This is the sign that he has understood who a mu'min is, and who Amir al-Mu'minin is. This is a sign, my friend. Now you look at it, and now you see for yourself that when Imam Hussein asked the army of Yazid, or for example, that we are going to ask for one night for prayer, so obviously, you know, they gave the night, But they started laughing. They started laughing. And they said, "What are you praying for? You think your prayer is going to be accepted? You think your worship is going to be accepted?" I mean, they are dishonoring Imam Hussein. They're making fun of Imam Hussein. And you know what? This is the reason that whenever they made fun of Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein didn't answer back. Imam Hussein didn't answer. He kept silent. It was the companions who answered back. Habib ibn Madahir answered back and said, "What, you think your prayers are accepted and the prayers of the grandson of the Prophet won't be accepted? Where is your iman? What happened to your ideology? Do you think this is going to be the case?" I mean, imagine this. This is the reason why those who never understood the concept of iman and the relationship of iman, not only were they there to kill Imam Hussein, but they were also there to ridicule his position. They were there to ridicule his position. My friends, it's one thing to kill your enemy. You killed him. But you know what? When Imam Hussein laid there on the battlefield after he was killed and after his head was slaughtered, those people came, and they came and they took the stuff and they took everything that was on Imam Hussein. Someone came and he wanted the ring from the finger of Imam Hussein, so he didn't take off the ring, he chopped off his finger. I mean, you killed the man, you hated him, you killed him. But don't disfigure him. Someone came and cut off his ears. Someone came and cut off his nose. My friend, Imam Hussein, when he went through this, endless. Imagine, all those who were believers and all those who understood his position until they were alive, they wouldn't let the arrows reach Hussein, they wouldn't let the swords reach Hussein. But when everyone was dead, now when Hussein was lying on the ground, no one is there to protect him. No one is there to help him. You see, this is the tragedy, my friends. These people are ridiculing the Imam and no one is there to help him. No one is there to get in the way. Imagine how lonely Imam Hussein was at that time. And that too, when everything was done, now when everything was done, an order was given by Umar ibn Sa'd, "Go put the bodies together and trample them." They put the bodies together and trample them. You know, when you want to ridicule someone, when you want to make fun of someone, when you want to dishonor them, then you trample his body. You trample his body and you let everyone know the person is that they come the body and a work up. And the people following him, the tribe of Muslim, they also came forward. The tribe of Habib and Mahir came forward. Every forward. They, what? Because they came forward and no gun. We tolerate that. Everyone, the body that belonged to them. The body belonged to them. For a claimer for everybody in Karbala, they took the bodies of. But if Nassar AC was claimed to anybody, take it. But the own body that wasn't claimed in the Ummah of Muhammad was the body of Hussein. When his body was left alone, they said, "Trample it. Trample the body of Hussein." My friends, imagine this. If Shias were around there, at least they would have said, "Trample us before you do this." This is why it is known that when Zainab, when she went to Sham, no matter what Yazid did, it did not disturb her. It did not disturb her. No matter what Yazid said, it did not disturb her. Yazid called them losers. It did not disturb her. Whatever Yazid said, you see, Zainab was able to reply back to it. But there's one thing yet Yazid did that disturbed Zainab so much that she couldn't take it. When Yazid didn't have answer to Zainab's questions and Zainab's points, when Yazid did not have an answer, so Yazid would take a stick and he would start hitting the face of Hussein. He would start hitting the face of Hussein. And when Zainab saw that, her heart would melt and Zainab would feel weak. That my mom, my brother is being ridiculed. Ha 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 ha